And I make six. Never doubt me, you haunted little turnip. I told you I could polish off an entire pack of cane brow. In my glory days, this would have been a warm-up.
I never said you couldn't, Con. I said you shouldn't. But I do like it when you're three sails to the wind. And since when did you start smoking cigars?
I'm celebrating.
I like it. It's like a secondhand smoke job.
I said, I ate a few too many eggs and bologna sandwiches. I might need to lay down for a bit. I'm setting the navigation to coast.
Maybe keep a bucket nearby.
Whoa. We worked out for this feast. I'm not wasting a crumb. I can keep it together.
Famous last words.
Your mother.
Yeah, great. You sleep, and I'll go through all this mail we had backlogged in port. Bills, warning, final warning, second final warning. What the heck is this? Hey, Con, on a scale of 1 to 10, how asleep are you? Oof, smells like a 12. Well, if you don't want me to open your mail, say something. That's what I thought. Huh. No return address. Are these Aether charts? These are official Nodite Baronies letterheads. This is from Amiris, but it's all scrambled. There's more black here than there is text. What the crap is this stuff? CCA scheduling? Leaked transcripts? It's all chopped and pasted. What the hell would all of these groups be working on together? And why is it all blocked out? This isn't just some trash in an envelope. This is serious business. This stinks of top secret. Con, wake up!
Madam Architect, your blueprints are so erotic.
Con, listen to me. Someone sent us a stack of scrambled top secret documents. Someone wants us to know something. Something big. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but this just might be actual government conspiracy.
I'm up.
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's Journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's Journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
The act of latching the smoking dandy to the Seggard's Lodge is complicated and frustrating. Finding an opening patch of stone to anchor to, controlling the stop, and affixing some additional ropes to make the climb. You can see the reflective sails of the Tall Tale moving in fast. Someone will have to stay behind, and Troth volunteers. This time he will not let you down. The glowing man-made lights emanating from the huge openings in the massive stone shoot like focused beams out into the void. Finding an entrance large enough for all of you to climb inside only takes a few moments. And one after another, you help yourselves into the inner workings of the lodge. Who or what hollowed out this massive stone is unknown to you, but it's clear that the winding network of caverns and passages lead further and further inward towards the center. You feel like ants in a farm crawling and descending deeper into the caverns until the sound of crackling static seems to fill the air and echo down the surrounding caves. Sliding the last 10 feet, you land with a thud in the central opening, the yolk of this cosmic egg. There, On a stone platform is a machine covered in dials and blinking lights. A high-tech, long-range radio, some 2 feet by 2 feet inside. It seems alive, crackling out a distorted signal from multiple stations at once. The sound is chaotic and painful. But while it's agony to your ears, it seems to be musical, nay, nourishing to another. Some lost and unnatural creature of the void hovers over the radio. Long dangling tendrils seem to connect to the fuses, cradling the input mic, lovingly tweaking the dials and filling the core with this unfiltered signal. The creature itself, both flesh and machine, skin moist with seeping blood, a twisted face lost in the pleasure of the chattering broadcast. Huge pulsing sacs expand and deflate, the whole thing like a beating heart twisted with wires that hovers and drips. Its horrible eyes snap open and take you in. It lifts the radio up towards it, this nourishing static teat on which it feasts. And it lets out a scream of rage that drowns out even the discordant signal. Let's roll initiative.
Ooh.
Did anyone get above a 20?
21.
It would have required that I roll initiative. I got a 21.
You son of a bitch.
Angela goes first.
Did anyone get above a 15? Above a 10?
Yo, I got an 11.
Lita?
7. It's okay, I'm getting the rolls out.
It seems that the prize that was waiting here at the heart of this cluster for you was a brand new long-range radio to affix to your newly heroic-ranked ship, should you succeed in your challenge. But some creature is now feeding off of its signal, using the broadcasts as nourishment, and filling the chamber with chaotic noises.
Dandies, let's neuter this radio.
Neuter it?
Yeah, it looks like a big ball sack.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Foe, Lida, snap what it's holding on to the radios with. Cut it free. Gidgel, push it away and keep it back.
And at the top of the initiative, it's Gidgel.
Gidgel is going to use all 40 feet of movement to head over to the thing. And as Gidgel ascends the steps towards this radio-wielding void horror, he's going to spend a key point to summon his astral arms.
Okay.
Which allow him to punch this thing from 10 feet away. Which I believe is exactly what we're looking for.
And if I'm not mistaken, they initially release a cacophonous blast.
That is correct.
What is my saving throw?
A dexterity saving throw.
Super dexy, this thing.
He looks sly.
I got a 17.
It is a 15 you need to beat.
Yeah, with a plus zero.
Yeah.
I believe it takes half damage, though.
Yes. That is going to be 6 cut down to 3.
Right on. And let's see them big glowy fist attacks.
Glowing fists. That is going to be a 14 to hit.
That just hits.
Ooh.
All right. As you see this thing hooking around, almost like a asteroid elemental, taking a slingshotted trajectory, one of the knuckles are going to stick out, and it's going to attempt to stunning strike this.
Okay.
The total, by the way, was 10 points of force damage.
10 damage noted.
And a constitution saving throw.
As the fist connects with both flesh and machine, it seems to resonate and undulate through it, getting transmitted into the signal that projects from the creature. This thing is immune to the stunned condition.
All right.
Also, I believe the post tense of slingshot should be slang shat. Just putting that out there.
Slung shat.
Someone write slang shat.
Then my second attack.
Let's see it.
That is a 20 total to hit.
Yes.
And we are dealing 9 points of force damage.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have to roll incredibly high to bonk this tumor. And is that it for your turn?
That is it for my turn.
Arms out, fists flailing. Foe Kithkin.
Foe, realizing he's not going to be able to make it all the way to the enemy and safely engage with it, he is going to run forward and dive behind a upcropping of rock. I don't know if upcropping is a thing.
Outcropping is, so I don't know why upcrop. Oh, isn't a hole just downcropping?
What's upcrop?
As he runs, he whispers incantations under his breath, targeting the void beast with Hexblade's curse.
All right.
And then, as he slides into a crouched position behind this protuberance. He is going to hurl an Eldritch Blast.
Okay.
The first one is an 11 plus 6.
That hits.
And the next one is a 14 plus 6.
Both connect.
7 and a 1 for 8.
Ooh.
Two blasting coins impact the huge undulating mounds of flesh, knocking wires loose and shooting this old astral blood to the ground. On initiative 20.
Uh-oh.
The signal that fills the chamber becomes discordant and starts to fuck with your very minds. You see the static seem to coalesce and spread down the wires wrapping around the tendrils, now charged with this kind of sonic energy at the end of its long tentacle limbs. It seems like even being just next to it is almost deafening from this static. Darlu.
Darlu rushes forward, drawing his bow back and keeping an eye out on the rest of his allies, making sure not to get too far away from them. As he runs away from where Lita is standing, he says, "Ms. Bag, you've kept your teeth sharp for a reason. Let's see you put them to good use." He's going to give you bardic inspiration.
She opens a bottle of beer.
Gross! <Huh.
laughs> It's okay. We established that you can't throw.
It's, damn it. Let's see if I can throw the game as I draw an arrow back and shoot at the knob.
Okay, the knob.
Which one?
Correct. Womp. Ooh, not fucking bad. That is a 23 versus its AC.
That is far higher than you needed.
That's what we like to see.
This is wasted math.
For 6 damage total, trying to send that arrow into the connecting point between radio and scrotum.
Mm. Can't think of what that aperture would be called.
The,
not quick enough.
Broadcast grundle?
The taint sever?
You're describing my favorite scene in Videodrome.
Is that it for Daru?
That's it for Darlu.
All right. The Sagavistry.
Ooh.
Drifts into the air like some blood-filled, ungodly balloon, carrying the radio with it in its tendrils, and simply drifts down some 20 feet towards the group. It rises up, casting a shadow over Gidgel as it descends down below you, and tendrils shoot out in every direction, lashing out at the crew of the Smoking Dandy. It gets 3 tendril attacks this turn.
Hate that.
So it's going to have one on each of you, just
hate
to make
that
it
more.
Convenient. Starting with Gidge. Coming at you with a 19.
Hits.
Oof. The next one at Daru.
Let's see it.
That is a 16.
That hits.
And Kith. That's cocked, unfortunately. Same exact roll.
Hey!
That is too low. That's a 13, so that's a miss.
Pure luck, baby.
Hell yeah.
Normally, its tendrils don't hit that hard. Nothing more than a whip of flesh. But as it used its discordant transmission, it happens to have a boosted psychic damage this turn on its tendril attacks.
No.
So, Gidgel, you take a total of 8 damage. 5 piercing and 3 psychic.
Okay.
Daru, you take 2 piercing and 6 psychic.
Ow.
As the tendril and the wire hits you, your brain, your thoughts become static. It grips you. It turns your blood cold. And you feel the horrors of all of the ancient broadcasts this thing has consumed while drifting through space.
Grabbing his horns and tucking his head toward his chest, Darlu says, discount on mattresses!
And as a bonus action, the Sagavistry gets to cast Mind Sliver, which it will target at Lita Bug. Please make me an intelligent saving throw.
Yeah, good luck.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Can I take that back? 13.
That is one shy of what is needed. You take 2 psychic damage, and should it come up, you have a minus 1 on your next saving throw.
Gob.
As it seems to comfortably deflate, having lashed out violently and released a small portion of its stored broadcast.
Having busted his psychic nut. Post-broadcast clarity.
It be Lita's go.
All right. Punching her fists together, the mechanical arms fold back up onto her shoulders, and she begins to skirt this creature.
You skirt the giant nutsack.
All right, let's see what we're dealing with. Light her up. From the corner of her pack, a light projects onto the creature, searching it for weaknesses. Please make a dexterity saving throw. I'm casting Fairy Fire.
Fairy fire. Ooh, interesting. 19 plus 0 is 19.
Jesus.
Fuck, man.
Don't give a fuck.
My professional analysis is that we are boned. I repeat, we are boned. But I'm not one to let anyone put me in the bone zone. Iris. Wow, it really just gummed up the way, didn't it? Just help. Iris also moves and then takes a pot shot at this creature.
Okay. And as the swirling alchemical flames attempt to lick the surface of its flesh, it simply dissipates into information, which is inhaled through various portholes.
Oh, God, that's not good. Does a 6 hit?
It doesn't. That's too low.
It's like the size of 18 of me. Why can't you hit it?
That brings us to the beginning of round 2 with our one and only gooey boy Gidgel.
It is still floating above us-ish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Darulu, I'm sorry. This thing will not be pushed back.
Oh, I understand. It is my money. I do need it now.
So I believe I'm just going to go on the offensive with my 3-section staff and my astral arms.
Okay.
I will start rolling some attacks. The first is a 21 to hit.
Yes.
For 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Got it.
Next is a 15 to hit.
15 does hit.
Yep. For 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
It's very much like hitting a sleeping bag full of hamburger.
That's a lot of how the combat goes up in my world. A 17 to hit.
All 3 hit.
For 5 points of force damage.
Yeah. Force damage on the last
this,
one.
Yeah. And since I'm spending a key point, another unarmed attack.
Okay.
For a natural 1.
Ooh. One of the tendrils and wires manages to wrap around one of your astral limbs, holding you still. You cannot move this turn.
Okay.
Fokithkin.
That is moi.
You are currently in the spaghetti zone.
I am. We are in a hole, yeah, like a cave?
Yeah, this is like a cave in the center of a clustered rock. So you climbed down and then there's this little chamber.
In a space where no moon can shine, a moonbeam falls from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Directly onto this rat bastard.
Awesome.
I will attempt to cold roast him in delicious lunar juices.
Excellent. The second his turn begins, he will get roasted by your radiant light.
Aces, I don't really think I have any bonus actions, and I can't quicken that, so that's me.
Right on.
Actually, you know what? That's not me. Foe, then, with a dignified flourish calling down the moonbeam, has a much less dignified hoist himself up on top of the rock and try to get to the other side, almost deliberately challenging this thing to attack him and using up its reaction.
Okay. It's going to make a tentacle swing at you. That's a miss, unfortunately, with a bad roll.
Hell.
All right. You can see the ground on the stone behind you crack open at the impact of the tendril inches from your skin.
Have you ever watched a 60-year-old man try to do a baseball slide?
Nope.
Well, now you have. He collides with the ground like a pile of clothes and just kind of shimmies the remaining 2 feet.
Can't say that I have. On initiative 20, the discordant transmission grows to a crescendo, and the static energy that seems to surround the creature, rather than channeling through its tendrils, seems to surround it like a kind of barrier, swirling with information, the sound like a Doppler effect of swirling all around it. Darulu, you are also in the spaghetti zone.
That's fucking cheating, that is.
He's got eyes on me.
It's all eyes.
And at least half of them are on me.
Booking away from the edge of this flailing nard sack, Darulu takes the opportunity given to him by Foe and rushes up the rise where it was initially positioned.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those eyes makes a great place to aim. He's going to try to shoot an eye.
Please do.
16?
It hits.
Ooh, 10 piercing damage.
You see the arrow stop inches from the creature, caught in this mesh of static and energy, managing to just barely break through as the shield dissipates around it, the arrow having just popped its bubble of temporary hit points.
I want to make a bursting joke so bad, but it feels poorly timed right now. Gidgel, go ahead and get in there while he's vulnerable, huh? I'm going to give Gidgel a bardic inspiration.
Excellent. And with every single lash and smack and laser, the tendrils that are gripping the radio tightly seem to slightly loosen. It seems at this point it's somewhat dislodged, but it's still amongst the man-of-war tentacles of this creature underneath it. That brings us to the Sagavistry. It's going to drift forward, moving through the air like Winnie the Pooh's balloon. And as it drifts from that spot, the laser manifests of moonlight, striking it immediately. I'm going to make a deck save with a 9. So that's a full 2d10 radiant damage.
Con. Oh, it's a con damn. Save. It's a con save.
So it's instead a 10.
My damage has been dog shit. All I've gotten is 3s and 1s, baby. That's a 1 and a 3 for 4 damage.
That's okay. You can move it as an action, which is nice. So drifting kind of half over the central platform, still staying in the spaghetti zone of Gidgel, it's going to make tendril attacks.
My spaghetti zone.
This turn, it gets to make 5.
Oh no.
But they are no longer charged with psychic energy. So it's going to do 2 and 3 against the two of you.
I hate that.
Against Darulu, I have a hit and a miss.
Fuck.
Dealing you 4 points of slashing or piercing damage.
Ooh.
And against Gidgel? Oh boy, that's 2 hits right out the gate and a miss.
You can add Bardic Inspiration to your AC as a reaction.
To one attack or to the turn?
Just one attack.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I'm going to increase my AC by 3 and go to 20.
That doesn't stop either. They were 22, 23 on the hit. See, I rolled 18, 19. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're all good. You're all good.
So you're going to take 2 of the tentacle attacks, dealing you a total of, those both max, they are, 10 damage. God. It's just a D4 plus 1, but it adds up.
Ooh.
So like a Ferris wheel of flesh and wires, it's just spinning and lashing out, lacerating your skin, dripping you and splatting you with the blood that oozes from its balloon-like appendages. But after getting cooked away by some of the moonlight, the radio is much looser. Lit a bug.
All right. It's time to pull out the big guns. Lita re-engages her gauntlets, but this time she claps her hands together, interlacing her fingers, and as the gauntlets do the same, they begin to reconfigure and transform, forming a large cannon, which detaches and falls into her waiting arms.
Ooh.
What, you said you were an artillerist?
I'm not. Does this look like artillery to you? She squeezes a trigger, and a tiny mote of darkness drifts out from it. And where it lands, space erupts. This is shatter.
Okay.
I'm going to need it to roll a constitution saving throw. If it is considered inorganic, it is at disadvantage.
It is not, but the radio is.
It is very organic.
Mostly organic. It's got some wiry bits. I got a, what's my con bonus? Let me scroll back down. I thought I was ready. 14 is my total.
The DC was 15.
Hit me with that damage.
You could also add Bardic Inspiration to the spell damage if you want.
Can I?
You can.
Hey.
I have Foe's Curse. That said, that is 14 points of thunder damage. As a deafening eruption rends space very briefly in the center of this creature.
Mm. You see several of the chains and wires that seem to hold it together begin to snap. There's a loud thud and a cracking of metal as the radio somewhat dislodges from its tendrils and hits the ground, chunks of it breaking off and falling against the stone, having suffered a great deal of damage itself. But it is no longer affixed to the creature. It now sits on the ground beneath its tendrils.
Did they say it had to be intact? I can fix it.
And as that brings us to the beginning of round 3, based on your success in the race against the tall tale, 3 figures come racing down the hall into the chamber. Honey Warflux, Snaps the halfling, and Declan the tiefling. But as they run forward, you see their shapes all begin to shift and warp. Honey, growing thick, bristly black fur from head to toe, tearing into the shape of a bipedal bear with an axe. Snaps the halfling, his nose elongating and a whip-like tail spilling out from below his robes, a bipedal rat. And Declan, the tiefling, as his horns vanish and are replaced with long feline ears, you see a orange tiger. Were creatures all, as they now enter the fray to get the radio.
You got Jig Bizno.
Oh, no, no, no.
Mercutio, sweetheart. How's the books, baby doll?
Oh, no, no, no.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I met the new team. The Smoking Dandy, they call the ship. Nice ship. Bad team. But you know it's a nice ship. You led the inspection. That's what I said. Let me tell you, baby. These chumps are bright-eyed and empty-headed. I barely turned on the honey, and they were eating this trial of seeking right out of my fuzzy little hand. The bastard's gambit. Hilarious, right? I put them up against the tall tail. It's amazing what you can get a group to do when you offer to pay their bail. So we got two nobody teams racing against each other to get a radio from Sagard's Lodge. There is zero, I mean zero chance of either team making it out alive. I'll get the full ad payout with no cuts. And we can probably auction off their wrecked ship for the old retirement fund. Yeah, of course I'm placing a bet on it. Give me 1,500 order on a draw. If they both go up in smoke, I'll make a killing. Oh, you know it, baby doll. So tell me about the inspection. I bet the rooms were total dumps. Probably fished their core out of an old goblin trash heap. They what? We found it. In Nidrasil? And it looked like what? And the ship actually paired with it? Wait, you gotta be kidding me. Do me a favor, Mercutio. Take that 1,500 order and put it on the Smoking Dandy. I might have misread this situation completely.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rain Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Ha ha ha! You cannot hope to defeat me. I am the DM's bane. I'm writer's block. Scheduling conflict. You have nothing.
He's too powerful. What are we gonna do?
We already tried the power of friendship.
There has to be a way. I have an idea. It's a long shot.
Kanan, your power levels are too high. How can you manage to maintain that without killing yourself? You're going to cease to be a DM.
No, Justin, look. He's using the power of how to be a better DM.
How can a weekly podcast give DMs so much power?
Ha! Ha! You have never understood what it means to be a DM. How to be a better DM has given me deep insight into storytelling principles as well as larger grasp of the rules of the game. Those insights and that understanding has allowed me to defeat you once and for all.
No, I will not be defeated by Justin Lewis, Tanner Wayland, or Caden Otley, hosts of How to Be a Better DM. Your Thursday episodes are meaningless.
You're wrong! Each of us have become more powerful than you ever thought possible!
What's more, we won't let you gain power ever again. We're making How to Be a Better DM available to Dungeon Masters everywhere. Just go to SessionZeroStudios.com.
Hey, LU cuties. We hope you're enjoying this chapter of LUQ as much as we enjoyed recording it. For those of you awesome enough to join our Patreon, you have my thanks. If you're one of our top-tier supporters, you have my super thanks. I know we change it up a little bit between seasons based on lessons we've learned and time available, so I hope you all like the ship, captain, and crew idea. To my knowledge, the names are all up to date, but if you see anything wrong, just let me know on Discord. As a reminder, this season we're occasionally using the names, if it works, to tell part of the story. There's no guarantee several of the names will get used if they don't fit with the setting, but we certainly might, and if so, we'll weave them into a character of our own design. So make sure you don't miss an episode, you might hear your name. I'll keep posting images of battle maps as I take them when their episodes drop and putting them in the Discord bonus content, and I'll try to work on some more Patreon content like maybe a map of the Central Cluster or some variant rules, and get those uploaded soon. I've had the privilege of meeting a few fans in person at TPK who came because they listened to the show, and I really, really enjoyed it. I've gotten to meet a lot of great fans at conventions, during the Great Golden Wedding, and while I myself am socially unskilled, it really does warm my heart. So please don't be shy and say hi, it's really nice of you, and it doesn't bother me in the slightest. And I'm positive Zach feels the same way. So thanks for making us feel seen and appreciated as we tell this story together. But that's enough out of me. Let's get you back to this post-apocalyptic space fantasy race fight.
Being an adventurer on your own can be lonely. Long nights of solitude by the fire. No one to watch your back in a fight. Nobody wants to be an army of one. In fact, sometimes it seems like your only true companion is the weapon at your side. Well, what if you were more than just friends? Introducing Slaymates, romantic, sentient, enchanted weapons.
Oh my gosh, your hands are so big. I just love how they feel wrapped around me. Now put me inside that guy. Ugh. This fire is so warm. Maybe I'll sleep without my sheath on tonight. That's better.
We have weapons and personalities for all types of lovers. Clever foils with a rapier wit.
You really know how to thrust me.
Why not go clubbing?
Oh my gods, I love the way we move together. Let's swing.
And for archers, himbos.
Oh yeah, pull me to your gentle cheek. Hold me real tight.
It's Slaymates, romantic, sentient, enchanted weapons. You're never alone when you have a plus one.
The shiny new long-range radio that was affixed to the Sagavistry is now cracked and broken, fallen to the ground of the chamber, ready for the grabbing. But to your dismay, three members of the Tall Tales, now in their lycanthropic forms, have emerged into the chamber with weapons out, ready to fight. That brings us back to Gigil.
How possible is it for me to tuck, roll, and grab as much of this radio as possible?
That's up to the dice, baby.
It's up to the dice. Okay.
Tumble through.
Okay. Yeah. That is what I'm going to attempt to do.
Okay. Excuse me. Why don't you roll me an acrobatics check?
That is a 16.
Okay, you can manage to grab the radio. And let's see, it's about 10 feet to get to where the radio is. And once you're toting it, it's fairly heavy. I'll say you only have 5 feet of movement left. So you can get to just outside of the range of the creature with the radio.
Okay.
If you wish to begin toting it. But it's hefty.
Yes, it is hefty.
You're grabbing, if you do, about a solid 89% of the radio that was once there.
Okay, 89%. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
We're going to get a new case on it. It'll be fine.
Mostly dial replacement and screen replacement.
As a bonus action, I'm going to spend a key point and do patient defense to take the dodge action.
Okay.
Then after Gidgel collects 89% of this long-range radio, he is going to bunch up his arms and astral arms into a very defensive pose, ready to weather the storm that is coming, both void and were creature.
All right. It does taking a slash at you with your patient defense. The lower of the two is a 3, which misses.
All right.
It manages to bring it down to 85% radio as you shield yourself with the casing of the machine. But you secure the radio and get away from the creature, if only some 10 feet. That brings us to Foe's turn.
Foe, help me set him up so I can lock him down.
Already on it. Involuntary aspect of the beast in the face of the moonlight. That's one hell of a curse.
As he says that, he pushes the moonbeam onto...
You can connect, you can make it land on both the tiger and bear with the area of effect.
Marvelous. And we'll do that. And from there, I don't have much else I can do. So instead, I'm going to go ahead and move myself behind the central dais.
Okay. While you're here in this corner, why don't you roll me a perception check?
Natural one.
You are focused on your task and you make it immediately to the place you were looking at. On initiative 20, the discordant transmission resonates through the passage. The static and crackling signal that surrounds the creature seems to start to shift and vibrate, and it almost looks like there's blurring after images of the creature sort of surrounding itself. It's very hard to pinpoint exactly where in the sky this thing floats. Darlu.
Darlu, not missing his opportunity, is going to spend a third level spell slot and is going to hold person the two lycanthropes in the moonbeam.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. What kind of save is that?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay. Honey gets a 4.
That's a failure.
Woo!
And the tiefling gets a 1.
That's a failure.
I have rolled so many 1s and 2s this session.
The ship's approaching. The horns are blown and the fire's moving your way. It's time to freeze, townsfolk.
NPCs.
Sick. With that, Darlu's going to put some space between Flaily Von Radio Guy and himself.
Why don't you roll me a perception check as you move towards the wall?
I love perception checks. Hohoika.
Hohoika.
Perception checks don't love me. I believe that's a 7.
You are focused on the fight, the cave, and the static.
Yes, I am. And that's my turn.
Okay. On the enemy's turn, we'll begin with the tall tails, two of which are paralyzed, and they have disadvantage against the moonbeam because they're lycanthropes.
Yay!
We will start with Honey. Nope. And then the were-tiger. No, not at all.
They are instantly pulled out of their lycanthropy.
Hell yeah, they are. That is a fucking dirty combo. We got to remember that for the future.
That is nasty. Next time we come across yet another group of shapeshifters.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. 2d10. I don't know why I grabbed a percentile. Well, they're not 1s and 3s, but it is a 2 and a 4.
Remarkably so better increase.
Both Honey and Declan take the full damage of the moonbeam, frozen in place, seized up, and now slowly shifting back to their human forms, the fur seeming to just fade away. So while the miniatures remain bestial, they will be representing them in their humanoid form. That makes it their actual turn. They're paralyzed, so they can't do anything for the two of them.
They do get to save at the end of their turn.
At the end of their turn, yes. Mm-hmm. But Snaps, who is still in his rat folk form, were rat form, as it were, it's going to move slightly forward in the cave, hugging the wall, staying away from this laser beam of moonlight. And then he is going to use one of his spells to dispel hold person.
Rude. Rude.
But they've lost their entire turn.
I'll take it.
And while they retain their form as non-bestial heroes, they are still strong folk. That brings us to the Sagafis tree. It's going to lurch on over towards the mouth of the cave, where it is near Lydda, the rat, and both Honey and Delkin. And then it's going to unleash its spaghetti wrath.
Poor Declan.
It's going to make four tendril attacks, which is perfect. That's one at each of them. That is a natural 20 on Honey and a miss on Declan.
Ouch, it hurts when I'm not a bear.
One attack on Snaps. That's a hit. And one on Lydda. It's a miss. You can see its eyes and body mournfully gesturing towards the radio as though it misses the teat it has separated from, but it has to deal with these aggressors first and foremost. Lydda.
If I had another rat and a chicken, we'd be in business.
God.
I'm afraid you lichen dopes got yourselves in a sticky situation. I am going to release the bidet and cast web. It is a 20-foot cube, so I'm going to get Snaps, Honey, and the
big ball.
The scrotation device.
I don't like scrotation device even a little bit.
All three of them need to make dexterity saving throws, DC 15.
Honey makes it with her danger sense. Unfortunately,
I would like Honey to re-roll that with silvery barbs as the static in the air coalesces around her, disturbing her natural ability to flow and function.
14?
15.
Hey! Okay.
Fucking Barbara's doing work.
And I'm going to give the advantage that I got to Gidgel.
Delkin misses, and then the big floaty, the Sagavistry, it does make a 15 DC.
Okay. At any rate, the two characters are now restrained. And what I'm going to do here is really rude.
Good.
Because they're right in its spaghetti range. Yeah, so I have something that I have not used before now.
Convenient.
And that is the goblin ability of Nimble Escape, which allows me to disengage as a bonus action. And I'm just going to back up and get near Gidgel.
Excellent. Beautiful. Roll me a perception check.
6.
Great. The battle rages on. Gidgel, you are currently heavy with radio. And there's just the most bullshit you've ever seen transpiring over here.
Gidgel is going to take this 86% or so left of the radio and his 3 HP and run... I think the other way from the bullshit for the moment.
Yeah, that's logical.
And towards the safety of a cluster of stalagmites.
Okay.
Gidgel, maybe there's another way out.
And you're at half speed for radio hefty. Okay. I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but would you roll me a perception check?
Oh, I haven't heard it once.
Well, as a table.
Oh, yeah. It's a 14.
That's much better than anyone else's.
Oh, wait. Wait a minute. But silvery barbs.
Oh, shit.
The next D20 roll.
Fucking Barbara.
How about a 14 again?
what a delightful waste.
You are actively looking for a means of getting away from this webby, moon lasery, hold person-y space spaghetti bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And nestling yourself into a corner of the cave, you realize there are a few very small passages that lead out of here. Outside of the very obvious large one that was possibly man-made that led to the center, they might be difficult to navigate as they're maybe like 2.5, 3 feet by 3 feet. It would involve some crawling.
Yeah.
But it might be able to work. You would need help to get someone to heft the radio up with you, though.
I see.
But there are other exits hidden throughout this passage in the form of small natural porous holes.
Mm-hmm. Now that Gidgel is somewhat safe behind cover, he's going to peek out and do a hand gesture of a tight corridor and something squeezing through it to Darylu.
I don't speak goblin.
It's not a goblin hand sign.
Gidgel, I don't even know if your orifices can take it.
I'm all orifice, baby. That's my turn.
Beautiful. Folkithkin.
Given the fucking princess parking that this moonbeam has. I'm going to go ahead and leave it right there.
Very logical.
Foe uses his move along this odd dais to reunite with Darulu.
Orders, Captain.
Orders are get the fuck out of here. We have what we need.
Foe, realizing that he has a unique opportunity, is going to run past the dais and get very close to the enemy that has every reason to crush his entire head. And as he does, he's going to wave his hand and reality itself will reform in the rat's hands, creating an illusion of a radio.
Excellent. I like it.
Does that effectively fool the jerk?
You'll find out on its turn.
Okay.
Let's say its poker face is strong.
You're telling me I can't read this fucker?
That brings us to initiative 20, which will cause the discordant transmission to crackle. I get to roll twice on that one. Interesting. Okay, once again, it seems as though some of the static and signal begins to manifest a shield around the creature. But as I rolled to get to roll twice, in addition to that large volume of static that bursts as one of its many huge air sacs just erupts, popping out, fills the entire chamber with just a wave of sonic energy. Every creature in the cave needs to make me a wisdom save.
Oh, no.
Fucking. Let's just say the tall tales all rolled fucking dick ball.
I'm right there with them, baby.
I got a luscious 12.
23.
Lita?
I've got a turgid 15.
All right, well.
Darulu gets a 5.
Two of you, that being... Oh, Darulu got a 5?
A 5.
Okay, well, the two of you that saved, which is Gidgel and Lita, you take 2 damage. Everyone else takes 5 psychic damage.
Oh my God, I have such little health left.
Yeah?
As the broadcast permeates your entire reality for just a moment, and it hurts.
Sounds like elevator music! Ah!
Darulu goes...
It's like using Internet Explorer without an ad blocker. Speaking of Darulu...
Now, pre-Captain Darulu would have ran over there and cast Bane on all 3 of them, because that would be very funny. But Captain Darulu doesn't need to show off like that. Before he goes anywhere, trying to get some clarity, trying to get some sense, he is going to grab the Horn of Orgrier. He is going to breathe in as deep as possible and make any kind of sound to counteract the static. And by that, I mean, I'm using my other 3rd level spell slot to cast Mass Healing Word. Mass Healing Word, and I'm targeting everybody. By everybody, I mean all of my allies.
Everyone within 60, right?
Within 60, which I believe is all 3 of you.
Should be.
And myself.
Yep, looks like.
Do you have to have line of sight?
Do I?
Because Gidgel's a little sloppy for you.
Oh.
There you go.
Moving up onto one of the risen mounds of earth, I will blow into the horn.
There we go.
And from this vantage point, you can clearly see Gidgel pointing to a massive hole in the wall.
Thank you for saying in the wall.
First and foremost, everybody gets 6 HP if you're missing any.
Hey-o.
Any healing for the scrote? You ignoring it?
No, I'm ignoring the scrote.
Damn.
I've already dealt with fucking Foe's dangly bits enough today. I don't need to do it again. And that is my fucking bonus action, which feels very good. With my standard action, I am going to look at the big wobbly Nardstaff. Nardsack.
I like Nardstaff.
I am Nardstaff the scrotulent.
And I'm going to say... You look like a friend of mine, and that's not a compliment. He's going to have to make me a wisdom save while I cast Vicious Mockery.
He chooses to fail.
Well, how much health does he get back? Oh, that was... So that's maximum damage. 8 psychic damage.
He heals 8 hit points as psychic damage heals him.
But he does have disadvantage on his next attack roll.
Joke's on you, he's into a humiliation kink.
Oh, shit.
You made fun of him, but it just gave him a boner.
It's like out of nowhere, one of the random crannies just extrudes a dog.
He's so vascular.
Don't yell at me, I'll get a boner. That brings us to the enemies. At the very top of the turn, the 2 lycanthropes, no longer lycanthropes, so they just have a normal save now, losing most of their cool stat bonuses against the space laser. Well, they're getting better. Honey actually makes it with a 16, but unfortunately, El Tigre only gets a 13.
That's a 10 and a 4 for a 14 total damage from the moonbeam.
Oh, that's not bad.
Came back around.
as they are now sticky, restrained in place, stuck to the floor with Lita's sticky toilet leavings. Yeah, that's great. I need to see what my little rat boy can do. Because he's like, oh shit, this isn't good. realizing that he is now looking very much like an illusory radio. I've been rolling dog shit this whole game, but you'll give it a try. He's going to point at Foe and be like, you prick, you made them lose their cool fur. and as he points at you, he's going to use a guiding bolt.
Okay.
That's a 17.
Shield.
Nice.
Fuck that guy.
As he throws it up, my shield, which is not quick enough to get in the way, manifests a double with a second arm behind it, and that manages to block it.
He did have extra arms this whole time.
Yeah, he's happy to burn a first spell slot to make you lose one. It's at least something. But that brings us to the big creature, the Sagavistri. It's going to get to make three attacks with its tendrils. It's using all three on the radio.
Hey!
That is a miss and a hit and a miss. Unfortunately, not the best rolls, but still, he manages to whip slap Scraps right in the face.
Wow, it is really tongue-punching that rat box. I couldn't say it with a straight face.
So because these two creatures are medium-sized, it gets to move away from them without provoking from the tall tails because they can't reach it. And it's just going to drift forward this way, moving towards the other group, realizing that the real radio is now over there, having thoroughly prodded the rat with its tendrils.
Motherfucker.
Lita.
I thought I was so slick.
No, it was great.
Everything has been working out perfectly.
Everything came together to really fuck these two over.
Come on, Iris. Let's get out of here. I'm going to use my action to dash, and I'm going to take the opportunity attack.
Okay. Natural 20.
Uh-oh. Oh, I just used my reaction. I'm so sorry.
Uh-oh. What does that make it?
The natural 20, 26.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. You take 8 points of piercing damage.
That's fine. That's fine. I run. I run so fast on my little goblin legs.
Where are you running to?
I'm going to follow where Gidgel went.
Okay.
Can a follower take a dash action?
No, I'm not going to say. I'll say if you're controlling it, then it'll just move at its normal speed. It doesn't have the option to like kick in its adrenaline and
right. Zip along. Okay. Yeah. Just thinking about it.
It's catching up though. It's not too far.
I end my turn.
Beautiful. You are there now next to Gidgel, who is trying to find a way to prop the radio up tall enough to get into this hole. And now there is a toilet-sized step stool right next to you.
I got you, buddy.
I'm going to use this very convenient toilet-shaped step stool. I'm going to use my friend.
The helmet's like a lid. You can absolutely make me an athletics check to get up into the hole with the radio, giving advantage from the presence of Lita, the step stool. What are you doing, step stool?
Helping as much as I can without actually having an action.
This is just like spelunking after a cave in a Tabiaseru. Ooh, that's an 11 for an athletics check.
Whew.
You're making progress, but trying to get this big hefty box up into it is far too difficult. Is that even with your arm bonus?
Yeah, that's with the arm bonus. It had to catch up to me sooner or later.
Unfortunately, you do not manage to make it. Only get a few feet of progress.
Okay. If I use my bonus action to dash, would that give me another try?
Yes, but you'll lose the advantage.
Okay. That's the last key point. So here's my last try. 15.
You just get into the lip of this asteroid hole, hefting the radio up with you. You can see a passage that winds up that will involve some pretty intense climbing, but nothing outside of your possibility.
All right. I squirm as much of my way as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my turn.
Right on.
That's all three.
Wiggly little noodle worm.
Foe.
Foe, realizing that the creature is distracted and has already attacked Lita, will make a full dash, jump in the air, grab the fucking Iris and then huck it at Lita and then run towards the exit.
For those of you that couldn't see Dana's hands, Iris is about the size of like
a baseball.
Half of a baseball.
No, like a baseball.
Like a softball.
Softball.
Huge.
He's going to throw it in a cricket pitch.
Underhand.
Perfect.
We always knew Foe was underhanded. So why don't you give me an athletics to see if you can get up into the hole after chucking a robot at Lita?
Can I use acrobatics instead?
Yes, but only because Lita's there to act as a footstool.
Hell yeah. That is a 12 plus 6.
Okay. You and Gidula...
No, not plus 6. Oh, plus 2.
That seems high. your way is fairly blocked by Gidula, but you are gripping the edge and upright enough to be in the hole effectively.
Works for me.
On a natural 20, the discordant transmission resonates through the cave. And once again, its tendrils are now crackling with sonic energy from the transmissions that it has consumed. Darlu, you can see your allies forming this three stooges of a ladder, squeezing their way with a very heavy box into this tiny hole.
Colonic conga line here. I am going to... Is there space in the hole? Can I start climbing up too, or is it...
If you roll good enough, you will be shoving them along with you.
Getting right to the entrance of the hole, before I push my way in, I'm going to turn to Lita and say, okay, I give you permission to grab my tail and help yourself up and give you bardic inspiration.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could keep that 8.
Then I am going to use Lita like a toilet step stool. And could I also do acrobatics to try to slither up too?
As long as Lita's still there, I will allow either.
Fuck yeah. 20 total.
Woo.
Okay. So finding that sweet, moist hole, you nuzzle your way in to the only spot that is just tiefling-shaped enough to fit. So as the enemies are next, and you are all now either adjacent to or in the mouth of the hole, what I'm going to have you, each of you do, and this is definitely athletics, is each roll me an athletics check as the creature careens forward at full speed, lashing out its tendrils, just to see how much bad stuff happens before you make it out of this hole.
Oh, God.
Me too.
Yes, all of you. And you're able to make it up because you grabbed Darlu's tail.
We're not strong.
Oh, I, can I use my armor of magical strength?
Yes, that's what it's for.
I expend a charge from my armor of magical strength and my bionic arms no longer mimicking Lita, help her up. Oh, baby, she needs it.
Are you using the D8 as well?
Yes. It's a total of 14.
Okay, 12.
Come on, bug. Get useful or get dead.
He drops down with his considerably long arms and just kind of extends it like a rope, knowing full well he won't be able to actually lift her with any effect, but providing effectively a way for her to climb up.
Thankfully, there's all these knots, all these bulges. It's so grippable.
How about Gidula?
20 total.
Darlu?
8. Darlu doesn't know what to do with all this Gidula lube. He keeps slipping on it. You grease the damn hole too much.
I thought it'd feel better that way.
Go slow. The hole will accept you.
So as the group of you are squeezing, shoving, lifting each other up and pushing each other forward through the hole, the tendrils of the beast are just like snaking their way through and getting as many lashes in as they can as you make your escape. You'll take 4 points in the process of leaving. But we see the outside of the lodge as you all climb out some 20 feet from the large hole that you went in as they begin to snake and wind in different directions. And you see down below you is the smoking dandy, and some feet above that is the tall tail anchored above it, casting a shadow over it. But there is a rope affixed between the two of them that looks like it's going through the gunwale of the tall tail. And you see Troth hand over hand pulling the rope up as what looks like a bound and tied werewolf covered in weapons is being pinata'd up. Unconscious. And he waves as he sees you.
You made it back. Well done.
And the group of you scampering, tumbling, and sliding kind of plop face down onto the deck as the radio lands with a loud crack. You have successfully returned 80% of a fully functioning long-range radio.
A cracked egg hanging in the black, like the cataract of a long-dead god. Pallid luster, catching fistfuls of tarnished gold, and pouring it out like milk across the seas. Drink it up, straight from the teat. even a fog of dream can obscure that terrible lens. Can't hide from the moonshine. Always finds you in the end. Blazing through the keyhole. Bringing light to your quiet shame. Shine without warmth. Light without life. A distant memory of day. When the curtain's long falling. And the audience stops their clatter. Just you on the stage. Spotlight blaring. What secret self lies beneath the grease paint and blush? Man or beast? Keep the rat inside long enough. It's bound to claw its way out. Time for the cabaret. Limelight can't show what is in there, love. That's right. Take it all. Bit by bit. Cap and gloves. Coat and collar. Tooth and nail. Skin and sin. Oh, that's it. My oh my. What big eyes we all have. Oh, the better to see you with, my sweet. The better to see you with.
You champion a rank, baby.
That's a B minus right there.
Whoa. My poor lycanthrope.
So that like, was fucked them up.
Oh, Jesus that was Christ. A lot.
So I had 4 HP by the end of that. How was everybody else looking?
I had only taken the last 4 because I start with Fiendish Vigor.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is the same. I have a little artificer boost to mine. I was doing okay. Plus, with your healing, I was topped off before that hit.
Honestly, sick. Though, I have no idea what my max HP was because I forgot to print my new character sheet.
You fool!
I can't remember. We're just doing averages, right? We're not rolling. Okay, cool.
And you're like sorcerer, and yeah. You're not draconic sorcerer.
Yep.
What's you're your constitution sure you modifier? Have more than 4 hit points?
2.
2. You have 6 extra hit points.
Hey,
I got you.
The professional.
I know these numbers.
I was 3 away from death, 1 away from death, 2 away from death.
Hey.
Mm.
You can build fights that just deal damage or that weird, silly shit can happen.
Hell yeah. That was a I bet that would have been, I bet we would have been in a real bad spot if those fuckers weren't locked down.
They didn't even make it through the door.
No, they didn't. We were definitely like, fuck you guys.
I mean, technically Snaps made it a little bit of the way.
True. A little.
He barely crossed the threshold.
A little.
He ratted his way in.
Hmm. Nobody's going to make it through the... Through me blasting sticky ropes.
Do I have some lines from
oh, yeah.
This episode?
There's some doozies.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
My list is long. Here we go. It starts with lovingly tweaking the dials.
Got that too.
Huge pulsing sack. Nucks out. Slang shat. Bonk this tumor. Between the radio and the scrotum. Broadcast grundle. Skirt the giant nutsack. The big guns. Fur on the inside. Radio teat. Lichen dopes. Scrotation device. Later dorks love Lita. Heavy with radio. Reality radio. Don't yell at me, I'll get a boner. Tongue punch that rat box. And lastly, but not leastly, toilet shaped step stool.
I think the only ones I got that you didn't was a static teat. It's all drip and dangle. let's see here. Post-broadcast clarity. Nard staff.
Nard staff.
I think that was all of mine.
I had a flailing nard sack. Very similar, but it wasn't said.
I personally feel pretty good about post-broadcast clarity / scrotation device.
There was one that you said that fucking got me.
From my list?
It was tongue punch the rat box.
Tongue punch the rat box and broadcast grundle both hit me very loud.
I'm a huge fan of Lichen Dopes made me laugh a lot harder than I thought I would. Lichen Dopes was very good.
But that feels like an unnecessary spoil in the title.
What were the two you had?
Post-broadcast clarity / scrotation device.
Oh, man. Scrotation device, broadcast clarity, broadcast grundle, and tongue punching the red box.
I mean, we've all got scrotation device on there.
I think it's the perfect suffix.
Yeah. I like that. When did we decide to have all episodes have two titles?
Oh, yeah, I just love it.
Yeah, it's great.
If we're going to go with scrotation device, I almost kind of want it to be scrotation device, parentheses, broadcast grundle.
I think broadcast something and then scrotation device is good in either order. But the only reason I picked clarity instead of grundle is because then they would both just be a genital reference.
Kind of like radio teat. Radio teat, post broadcast clarity.
Tricky. It's a tricky one. We've done too much. We've spent too much effort naming things today.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
I don't know. Broadcast grundle hits me the hardest, but I leave it to y'all.
My only reason I really like for the setting is post-broadcast clarity is because it's the last episode of the chapter. It kind of sums up what happens in the episode because it's both, you know, a success for your group and you got a radio.
That's fair.
I like that one.
Yeah. Doesn't give it
and
away.
And then scrotation device just because it hints at the monster. And when people see, they're like, what the fuck does that mean?
You got me. Post-broadcast clarity, scrotation device.
Hell
I'm
yeah.
Sold.
And the art is just going to be a ball sack.
It could be a broken radio if you want it to be easier, but it depends on whose chapter it is.
That's fair. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, if you want it to be Foes and do a horrific painting of this scrote.
Of this grundle.
I kind of do. I kind of do, just because I'd love what the art would be.
Fair, I can do that. That works for me.
Awesome.
Just some sort of dream mashup of a fucking big old testy bag and a radio.
Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
I'm Angelo. I play Gigil, the astral monk. I'm a plasmoid gooey boy, and now I'm level 5, so I can stunning strike things that are immune to stunning.
My name is Max Hobbs. I play Darlu Naranavahan, the tiefling valor bard. I work at TPK. You can find me there, and I'm on this show. You can find me here. You can also find me at insert home address here. And my social security number is numbers.
It is numbers.
It is certainly numbers. There's numbers. Like 7 of them or whatever.
Mine's just the Batman symbol.
Oh, shit. Lucky you.
I'm a little sad I didn't think of Humble Grundle.
Humble Grundle.
I am Dana Ebert. I play Litabag, the goblin artificer, now level 5. Nothing too exciting there. I'm the creative director at TPK, where Law and Max also work.
Hello.
And we do a lot of fun stuff. Check us out.
I gotta say, the idea of like a RAR full of glossy JPEGs of grundles is just hitting me very hard.
I'd unzip that grundle bag.
And Zachary Barkis also did a little contract work for us. If you want to book a game of Call of Cthulhu, he wrote a really cool adventure.
I love it. I had a lot of fun doing it.
My name is Law. I'm the creative director of Slapdash and the games manager of TPK. Today I played an undulating floating ball sack and several cute rock boys. And I occasionally play Sir Troth the Woven in my off episodes of this cheese season.
The cheese season.
The cheese season.
That's what you get from the space grundle.
I am Zachary Golden, the other times dungeon man, I guess. I think I've graduated to dungeon man.
Dungeon teen.
Dungeon teens. Jesus. Fucking 90s
that's
Saturday
even
morning.
Even worse than Dungeon Boy.
Dungeon yeah. Teen.
Dungeon Teen is you a downgrade.
You haven't descended into the dungeon yet.
Your dungeon hasn't dropped.
I am also the technical director for Slapdash Studios. You can request me as a DM all sorts of different ways. You can also pop onto the old slapdashstudios.com to find a way to commission me that way. But, if you want Call of Cthulhu, definitely go through TPK. I also want to thank Hediger the Editor for editing this episode. I want to thank Bree Golden for doing art and other beautiful things for the whole company. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening. And until next time, we wish you luck.